Yatavarnam Yatashramam
Yatavarnam Yatashramam
Vairagya Rago Padibhya
Vairagya Rago Padibhyam
Amnato Vaya Lakshanam
Amnato Vaya Lakshanam
Purusha Swabhava Vihita
Purusha Swabhava Vihita
Yatavarnam Yatashramam
Yatavarnam Yatashramam
Vairagya Rago Padibhya
Vairagya Rago Padibhyam
Amnato Vaya Lakshana
Amnato Vaya Lakshana
Purusha Human being
Swabhava,
Swabhava
by his own acquired qualities,
Vihita,
prescribed,
Yata,
according to,
Varna,
classification of castes,
Yata,
according to,
Ashrama.
Orders of life.
Orders of life.
Vairagya.
Vairagya.
Detachment.
Detachment.
Raga.
Raga.
Attachment.
Attachment.
Upadibhyam. Out of such designations.
Out of such designations.
Amnata.
Amnata.
Systematically.
Systematically.
Upaya.
Upaya.
Both.
Both.
Lakshana.
Lakshana.
Symptoms.
Symptoms.
Translation. At Maharaj Yudhisthira's inquiry, Bhishma Dev first defined all the classifications of castes and orders of life in terms of the individual's qualifications. Then he systematically, in twofold divisions, described counteraction by detachment and interaction by attachment. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. So this is quite an extensive purport. Try to listen carefully, please. The conception of four castes and four orders of life as planned by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 4.13 is to accelerate transcendental qualities of the individual person so that he may gradually realize his spiritual identity and thus act accordingly to get free from material bondage or conditional life. In almost all the Puranas, the subject matter is described in the same spirit. And so also in the Mahabharata, it is more elaborately described by Bhishma Dev in the Shanti Parva, beginning from the 60th chapter. The Varnashram Dharma is prescribed for the civilized human being just to train him to successfully terminate human life. Self-realization is distinguished from the life of the lower animals engaged in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. Bhishma Dev advised for all human beings 9 qualifications. 1. Not to become angry. 2. Not to lie. 3. To equally distribute wealth. 4. To forgive. 5. To beget children only by one's legitimate wife. 6. To be pure in mind and hygienic in body. 7. Not to be inimical toward anyone. 8. To be simple. And 9. To support servants or subordinates. One cannot be called a civilized person without acquiring the above-mentioned preliminary qualities. Besides these, the Brahmins, the intelligent men, the administrative men, the mercantile community and the laborer class must acquire special qualities in terms of occupational duties mentioned in all the Vedic scriptures. For the intelligent men, controlling the senses is the most essential qualification. It is the basis of morality. sex indulgence, even with a legitimate wife, must also be controlled, and thereby family control will automatically follow. An intelligent man abuses his great qualifications if he does not follow the Vedic way of life. This means he must seriously make a study of the Vedic literatures, especially of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. For learning Vedic knowledge, one must approach a person who is 100% engaged in devotional service. He must not do things which are forbidden in the Shastras. A person cannot be a teacher if he drinks or smokes. In the modern system of education, the teacher's academic qualification is taken into consideration without evaluation of his moral life. Therefore, the result of education is misuse of high intelligence in so many ways. The Kshatriya, the member of the administrative class, is especially advised to give charity and, in italics, and not to accept charity in any circumstances. Modern administrators raise subscriptions for some political functions, but never give charity to the citizens in any state function. It is just the reverse in the injunctions of the Shastras. The administrative class must be well versed in the Shastras, but must not take to the profession of teachers. Then again, in italics, the administrators should never pretend to become non-violent, end of italics, and thereby go to hell. When Arjuna wanted to become a non-violent coward on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was severely chastised by Lord Krishna. The Lord degraded Arjuna at that time to the status of an uncivilized man for his avowed acceptance of the cult of non-violence. The administrative class must be personally trained in military education. Cowards should not be elevated to the presidential throne by dint of numerical votes only. The monarchs were all chivalrous personalities, and thereby monarchy should be maintained provided the monarch is regularly trained in the occupational duties of a king. Then again in italics. In fighting, the king or the president should never return home without being hurt by the enemy. Close italics. The so-called king of today never visits the war field. He is very much expert in artificially encouraging the fighting strength in the hope of false national prestige. As soon as the administrative class is turned into a gang of mercantile and labourer men, the whole machinery of government becomes polluted. The Vaishyas, the members of the mercantile communities, are especially advised to protect the cows. Cow protection means increasing the milk productions, namely curd and butter. Agriculture and distribution of the foodstuff are the primary duties of the mercantile community, backed by education and Vedic knowledge, and trained to give in charity. As the Kshatriyas were given charge of the protection of the citizens, Vaishyas were given the charge of the protection of animals. Animals are never meant to be killed. Killing of animals is a symptom of barbarian society. For a human being, agricultural produce, fruits and milk are sufficient and compatible foodstuffs. The human society should give more attention to animal protection. The productive energy of the laborer is misused when he is occupied by industrial enterprises. Industry of various types cannot produce the essential needs of man, namely rice, wheat, grains, milk, fruits, and vegetables. The production of machines and machine tools increases the artificial living fashion of a class of vested interests. and keeps thousands of men in starvation and unrest. This should not be the standard of civilization. The Sudra class is less intelligent and should have no independence. They are meant for rendering sincere service to the three higher sections of the society. The Sudra class can attain all comforts of life simply by rendering service to the higher classes. It is especially enjoined that a Sudra should never bank money. As soon as Sudras accumulate wealth, it will be misused for sinful activities in wine, women, and gambling. Then again in italics, wine, women, and gambling indicate that the population is degraded to less than Sudra quality. Close italics. The higher castes should always look after the maintenance of the Sudras, and they should provide them with old and used garments. A Sudra should never leave his master when the master is old and invalid, and the master should keep the servant satisfied in all respects. The Sudras must first of all be satisfied by sumptuous food and clothing before any sacrifice is performed. In this age, so many functions are held by spending millions. Then in italics again, but the poor laborer is not sumptuously fed or given charity clothing, etc. Close italics. The laborers are thus dissatisfied, and so they make agitation. The varanas are, so to speak, classifications of different occupations, and ashram dharma is gradual progress on the path of self-realization. Both are interrelated, and one is dependent on the other. The main purpose of ashram dharma is to awaken knowledge and detachment. The brahmachari ashram is the training ground for the prospective candidates. In this ashram, it is instructed that this material world is not actually the home of the living being. The conditioned souls under material bondage are prisoners of matter, and therefore self-realization is the ultimate aim of life. The whole system of ashram dharma is a means to detachment. One who fails to assimilate the spirit of detachment is allowed to enter into family life with the same spirit of detachment. Therefore, one who attains detachment may at once adopt the fourth order, namely renounced, and thus live on charity only, not to accumulate wealth, but just to keep body and soul together for ultimate realization. Household life is for, in italics again, one who is attached. Close italics. And the vanaprastha and sannyas orders of life are for, in italics, those who are detached, close italics, from material life. The brahmachari ashram is especially meant for training both the attached and detached. Purusha swabhava vihitam yata varanam yatashramam vairagya rago padibhyam atmatobaya lakshanam. At Maharaj Yudhisthira's inquiry, Bhishmadev first defined all the classifications of castes and orders of life in terms of the individual's qualifications. Then he systematically, in twofold divisions, described counteraction by detachment and interaction by attachment. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarne. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Manchakapacha Rubias Jagripa Sindhu Bhavacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So Srila Prabhupada's given very extensive purport here. It's actually about three full pages. Means it's definitely one of the longer purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, which indicates importance, certainly. And here, it's just a brief description, basically, but Bhishma Dev is instructing Maharaj Yudhisthira how to rule. This is now Maharaj Yudhisthira's situation after having been in exile, and there were so many complications previously, although he was meant to rule. But now finally it has come to that point that Maharaj Yudhisthira is to rule. Of course he has had extensive training already, but he has not ruled before exactly, certainly not on this scale at all. So he's requesting Bhishma Dev, who's big expert on Kshatriya Dharma and just a big expert on everything as a great Mahajan. He's asking Bhishma Dev to help him, to instruct him what to do, what not to do, so he'll be able to rule successfully in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada elsewhere makes the point that just as Arjuna was placed into illusion by Lord Krishna at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita for the purposes of instructing him and really instructing us, all the generations to come, for hundreds or thousands of years. So Lord Krishna placed Arjuna in that condition, although of course Arjuna was not really like that himself. Arjuna is eternal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's no question of just becoming reduced to the state he was apparently reduced to, of helplessly being helplessly overwhelmed by his emotions and different sentiments, and just very much losing sight of the goal of life and of simply what is right and what is wrong. So that was the Lord's arrangement. And Srila Prabhupada explains also that when Maharaj Parikshit was in the forest and he arrived in the ashram of Shamaka Rishi and apparently became overwhelmed by hunger and thirst to the point where he basically lost control of himself, Prabhupada explains in the course of that description that Maharaj Parikshit was also placed into illusion by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, someone as elevated as him, there's no question of becoming overwhelmed by hunger and thirst to the point that if there's some great sage, great saintly person meditating in trance nearby, and you request him to give you some food or water, or perhaps just expect him to give, And then if he doesn't give because he's deep in trance, and not because he's being inhospitable, but then if you become very angry, and as apparently Maharaj Pariksha did, and then wrapped the dead body of the snake around his neck as an expression of frustration and anger and real dissatisfaction with the conduct of the person of Shamika Rishi. So Maharaj Pariksit, just a matter of days later, sat down, and what to speak of becoming a bit hungry and thirsty after moving around in the forest for some hours, he didn't eat or drink for 7 days and seven nights, and neither did he sleep. So obviously Maharaj Pariksit was not so unadvanced that he couldn't tolerate a little hunger and thirst for a few hours. He was on a very high platform of Krishna consciousness, including very high platform of detachment from bodily feelings and just the bodily condition. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this is also like Arjuna, a similar situation where the Lord arranges for our instruction. For our instruction. If Maharaj Pariksit had simply become just too emotional and just lost control and just couldn't handle being in that condition, then when he found out, maybe the same day or maybe the next day, maybe the same day, that he had been cursed to die by the bite of a snake bird, but if he preferred, the curse could be removed and he could just live on for a more normal duration of life. If he had really been in such an emotional and such a disturbed state due to physical condition, then one would assume that when he got the opportunity for the curse to just be dissolved and removed, he would jump at the chance. But he didn't do that. He just said, well, it's the will of the Lord. I don't want to go against the will of the Lord. So it must be the best thing. So thank you, but I don't want the curse removed. So anyway, so those two examples are there. And then Bhishmadev Prabhupada describes, well, actually Maharaj Yudhisthira rather. Maharaj Yudhisthira at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra is in a somewhat similar condition, again by the arrangement of the Lord. Yudhisthira is also great, great transcendentalist, very realized, and very close to the Lord, with a very deep personal relationship with the Lord. And it was the Lord's desire that the battle of Kurukshetra be fought, and that so many, many people would be killed to establish Maharaj Yudhisthira on the throne. However, at the end of the battle, we see that Maharaj Yudhisthira apparently becomes bewildered by that whole situation. That, oh, I have become the king, but at what a cost in life. How many millions and hundreds of millions, actually, of people have been killed just so I could become the king. And Maharaj Yudhisthira became anxious that I may or will have to take the karma. And so that will be a great disaster for me. So what to do? What to do? And what to do? was approach Bhishmadev. And this was the arrangement of the Lord also, that Yudhisthira was also placed in that condition of apparent bewilderment by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for certain particular purposes. Well, so that Bhishmadev could give his instructions and thereby become glorified as the great, great Shastric and Krishna conscious authority that he is. Otherwise, Maharaj Yudhisthira, he's beyond these things. He's beyond these things. And he's aware of the Lord's plan, and he's able to just personally consult with the Lord if he needs clarification on anything. But by the arrangement of the Lord, it happened in that way. Yudhisthira apparently became confused and bewildered and needed guidance, and then Bhishmadev became glorified by giving that guidance in different ways, instructing him in different ways. The instructions are not really so extensive about what to do, what not to do, at least as reflected here in the Bhagavatam. There's only, I think it's about 4 verses, or even 2 verses really, or anyway, just a few verses in which Bhishmadev, his instructions to Yudhisthira are presented here in the Bhagavatam, but of course we understand he gave very extensive instructions. Here, of course, mention is being made of instructions related to ruling and arranging society, managing society, managing people's lives within the structure of proper Varnashram, Daivi Varnashram. So that is what's being focused on here, and indeed the next verse, it seems to mainly be focusing on those types of subjects, although certainly he also addressed Maharaj Yudhisthira's anxieties about, I'm going to get all the karma and it's all going to be very, very terrible for me. So, anyway, here, the Bhagavatam is describing how, first of all, Bhishmadev addressed the different important considerations in regard to ruling society, structuring society like that. And first, what did he do? The verse says, Bhishmadev first defined all the classifications of castes, means varnas, and orders of life, means ashrams, in terms of the individual's qualifications. Purusha, whoops, is there, have you got a tissue? Sorry, I've got some wounds. Excuse me. Yes, Purusha Swabhava Vihitan. Purusha Swabhava. According to the actual Swabhava, the actual nature, the natures of the different individuals, and how society has to be structured systematically in those terms, and people have to become situated systematically in those terms. Not by janma karma, not by janma, but as Krishna says in this verse mentioned here, referred to chapter 4, verse 13, Bhagavad Gita, achatavanam maya shristam guna karma, the bhagasha. So this is essentially the same point. Purusha swabhava vihitan, that people, the human being, human beings, according to their acquired natures, their qualities, their actual personal natures and characteristics, then vihitan yata varanam yata ashramam. They have to become situated in the relevant, suitable positions in life according to those characteristics, purusha swabhava, and not just according to birth, and not just according to, as we see in current day society, not just in terms of opportunity for economic advancement, how can I get a better job so I can get more money, which even though it may in a sense overlook overlook birth, but it also overlooks people's qualities in terms of varna and ashram, in terms of their occupational interests or type of occupational activities which they're suited for, and the particular stage of life that they have reached, be they young person or in the middle of their life somewhere, or in the later phases of their life somewhere. All these things have to be taken into consideration. It's extremely important, and therefore Prabhupada translates that Bhishmadev first of all defined these things before going into other subjects. There are many subjects he was going to cover in terms of how to be a ruler and deal with different situations and how to deal with people who have different natures, to deal with them successfully. Yes, but first thing was, what about varna and ashram? How to understand that, how to apply the principles, and in Krishna consciousness. It has to all be done in Krishna consciousness, and not simply in a just, you could say, materially pragmatic way, but overlooking the relationship that everyone has with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that even if people do follow Varnashram, but it is not Daivi Varnashram, not Varnashram with Krishna in the center and the focus being very much on the Lord, but if it's just Varnashram for the sake of Varnashram, just for the sake of personal nature and simply to help people become situated comfortably in some natural situation in life, without Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya makes the point that such an attempt at Varnashram or Asuri, demoniac, non-Krishna conscious Varnashram, even if a person follows all those, the principles and so on of Varna and Ashram, without Krishna being the center, then Lord Chaitanya says such a person will go to hell.
Oh.
Oh. Yes.
Even if it's devoted. I mean,
Hare Krishna. Please listen carefully. Yes. I mean, I really hoped it would be clear. But if Lord Chaitanya says, if a person follow, even if they follow Varnashram very nicely, but without reference to the Lord, simply and only taking into consideration people's personal natures and the types of occupational activities they're inclined to, etc., without Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya says, they will go to hell. Okay? Yeah. So that's not the devotees, obviously. Yes, Daivi Varnashram means Varnashram with Krishna in the center, very much in the center. Truly, the focal point in all respects. And that is what Bhishmadev instructed Maharaj Yudhisthira in. And it's referred to here also, indirectly. Then, after having first of all explained about what is a Brahman, who is a Brahman, what it means to be a Brahman, what sorts of personality types in that sense could become Brahmins. Then he described the Kshatriyas. Then he described the Vaishyas, then the Sudras. And Srila Prabhupada, in each case, pretty much, gives some emphasis to certain particular characteristics of the particular varnas, which we mentioned, and Prabhupada's given in italics. He has italicized certain particular points about pretty much all the varnas, not exactly for the Brahmas, I mean not in italics as such, but for the Kshatriyas, a Kshatriya is especially advised to give charity, and then in italics, and not to accept charity in any circumstances. In italics. Then also in italics, the Kshatriyas, the administrators, should never pretend to become non-violent, and Prabhupada says, and thereby go to hell. Which was not in italics, but anyway. So for the Kshatriyas, it's so demeaning. So demeaning to have to ask for charity or just accept it if it's offered. It's so demeaning that the Kshatriya cannot really be a Kshatriya. If he's accepting charity, then it means he's already become something else, some sort of mixed up person. Then, the Brahmins, Prabhupada doesn't put in italics, but Prabhupada is emphasizing for the Brahmins, controlling the senses is the most essential qualification. Brahmins. And then he talks about Grihastha Brahmins, in how they may engage in sex life, how they may not engage in sex life, and the result that will come if they do control themselves like that. Family control will automatically follow. And he must seriously make a study of the Vedic literatures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. But In order to do that, they have to approach a person who's 100% engaged in devotional service. In other words, a Krishna conscious spiritual master or someone who's an authority in Shastra, in Krishna consciousness. And then the Brahmin has to maintain moral standards very strictly. Anyway, control the senses. Yeah. In Krishna consciousness. Then the Kshatriyas, we mentioned, then the Vaishyas. Oh, and then another thing for the Kshatriyas. In fighting, if any of you have, you know, some ideas of becoming Kshatriyas, in fighting, the king or the president, I don't think it means the temple president, should never return home without being hurt by the enemy. I can't imagine it means that, you know, in case he doesn't get actually hurt somehow, that he should inflict some wound on himself. But, you know, really, he has to get right in there at the in the front lines, not in the back lines, and certainly not way back in the atomic bomb shelter, you know, a few hundred feet underground. Oh, this is just such rubbish. Yeah, so Kshatriyas should be like that. Then Vaishyas are especially advised to protect the cows. And protecting the cows is not a small job. You don't just get some cows, stick them out in the field, and just come out and milk them twice a day. That's not what's involved, as some devotees sometimes think. We will protect cows, means stick them out in the field and forget about them, except for when we have to milk them. And in this way, we'll get free milk. They'll eat the grass, which is just growing there. It doesn't cost us anything. And we'll get free milk. All glories to cow protection. But that's not cow protection at all. Cow protection is a big job. It's a big job. Just like Prabhupada's... in regard to the Brahmins, Prabhupada was saying that they have to control their senses, and particularly in regard to sex life. And Prabhupada said in that way, family control will be there. You'll be able to control how many children you have, first of all, and then the qualities of the children. Yes. And it won't just be some haphazard thing, which is mainly a matter of just enjoying sex life, and the children who come along, they just sort of happen along. And it's all secondary. They are secondary to just the enjoyment of sense gratification. So the Vaishyas are especially advised to protect the cows. And they should become educated in Vedic knowledge, at least to some reasonable extent. They're twice born and trained to give in charity. The Kshatriyas protect the people, the Vaishyas protect the animals. Then the Sudras, they need to be sort of parented, like really supervised and looked after in that parental spirit, and not just given freedom to do whatever they like. Prabhupada puts in italics, wine, women and gambling indicate that the population is degraded to less than sutra quality. Less than sutra. At least the Sudras, in many cases, they like to work. They like to work because they're sutras, they're laborers. It's their nature. They're inclined to do that. But when they just become lazy people who just like to take intoxication and just at work just waste time, and if possible, not so much here, but like in a place like England, go on the dole, means social security. It's amazing. People get paid as much by social security as they would get paid at a job or more. So obviously, why work? Particularly if you're less than Sutra. You can just sleep all day and be happy. Or something like that. So the working class, the labor class, needs to be protected and cared for in a parental type of spirit. And then they can make progress. Prabhupada explains in the discussion in the second canto, discussion about the universal form, where the different varnas are described as being different parts of the universal form of the Lord. Prabhupada makes the point in one purport there that in one sense, for Krishna consciousness to be a real sudra, like a qualified sudra, it may be the most beneficial situation to be in. Because a real sudra has that mood of service and working hard for the master and not getting all sort of cantankerous and going on strike and all these things, but dedicating himself heart and soul to his employer, who would look after him so nicely. So Prabhupada makes the point there that in that sense, because a qualified sudra is just so ready to surrender and work hard for the real authority, Prabhupada makes the point that in one sense this may be the best position, because in the other orders of life, like Brahmins, are not meant to become employed. They're meant to be independent. So they may not, it's possible at least, they may not develop that mood of submission, surrender, that willingness to serve. So a proper sudra, it's not a bad position if that is someone's nature. It's not that anyone should lament that, oh, this person, or even, you know, me, myself, I'm just a sudra, so I'm losing out. For someone who's actually qualified in that way, it's very good. It's the best. And if the society, Varnashram society, is running nicely in Krishna consciousness, then that sort of sudra can go back to Godhead. Can certainly go back to Godhead. Yes. And then there's a much briefer discussion of the ashrams, that there is, well, the verse had said, he systematically described in twofold divisions, counteraction by detachment and interaction by attachment. So, and Prabhupada does say here again in italics, household life is for, in italics, one who's attached. Whereas the vanaprastas and sannyasis, those orders of life are for, in italics, those who are detached. Whereas the brahmachari ashram is especially meant for training both attached and detached. those who may be able to remain detached, and Prabhupada mentions here, then one who attains detachment as a brahmachari may at once adopt the fourth order, the sannyas order. But otherwise, according to Varnashram educational processes, the different students with their different natures would be trained in different ways. For detached life, if they're going to remain brahmachari or perhaps become sannyasis shortly after their training as students, or if they are more of that attached type of nature, how to become proper grihasthas in Krishna consciousness, not just how to become attached and just live an attached life, but how to live in that type of situation with family and different material requirements, but in Krishna consciousness also. So it's very, you know, like strategic and personalized, very personalized, how the people would become trained and developed, and then how they would actually execute when they really go into their varna and work like that, how they would live like that, how they would work like that, with everything focused on Krishna. And Maharaj Yudhisthira had to know all about it, to oversee it all. So it was just a grand success. And people would, on the whole, generally, people would become pure devotees and go back to Godhead. Yes, so, these are some, or the first parts at least, of Bhishma Dev's instructions to Maharaj Yudhisthira. Any comments or questions? Madhu Mangal Prabhu.
Please forgive me, interruption.
For not listening.
That's my habit.
To not listen. Anyway, Hare Krishna.
That's a fault in my habit.
You're not alone. Yes.
Please, can I ask you two questions? They're sort of related to each other.
Yes.
The number one question is, I've been back to West Africa twice now, and in those 2 years that I've been back twice, I've discovered that two of my godbrothers, or devotees, have left the Hare Krishna movement. In West Africa, there's a very big and amazing explosion of prophetic churches. It's been, and they're very wealthy, and they used to have left that or that that prophet or whatever his name, and they are getting some material benefit from that. So that's why I was thinking to myself that time, what happens to a devotee who abandons his spiritual master or abandons his Krishna consciousness and lifestyle and where he's going to with something like that?
Well, you know, probably after some time, meaning maybe a lifetime or two or something, it's likely they'll get the opportunity again, sooner or later, for Krishna consciousness. Yeah. You know, when people are real beginners, like real beginners, and they're in a social environment which is really not conducive to Krishna consciousness, then it's very difficult for them. And particularly if they don't have like constant or very regular very good association, they may just end up thinking we're doing the wrong thing. So anyway, but Krishna never forgets, if they've done some sincere service and so on and so forth. You know, if they become offensive towards Krishna consciousness and sort of aggressive towards it, well then, you know, that's worse. But if they're just weak, then, you know, they'll get the opportunity again. Even if they're offensive, they'll get the opportunity sometime, but it'll be later.
No, they haven't become offensive.
Okay.
Another question I want to ask you. My memory is not so good. Who did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu send in one of the six Goswamis? And he said, go back home and live with your parents like pounds and things.
Raghunath Das Goswami. Lord Chaitanya felt he was not ready for what he wanted to do. He felt he wanted to leave everything and just join Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya, you know, was discouraging, like sort of sentimental renunciation. Very immature renunciation. Yeah. And in due course, that's what grihastha life is meant to do, actually, to help people mature in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And that's what happened. And then Raghunath Das left and joined Lord Chaitanya. Everything worked out. You know, whether Raghunath Das was really not ready or whether Lord Chaitanya was just setting an example, well, let us not speculate. But that's what Lord Chaitanya said and what he did. But in principle, you know, Prabhupada, there are a number of cases where Prabhupada told devotees who were living in the, just joined the temple like, very, very recently. He told them, no, go back to university. Or like Nrisinghananda Prabhu, the ITV video devotee, Prabhupada told him, go home. Live with your mother. And he did. And after some time, then he got, I mean, he remained Krishna conscious, basically. But then he got more fully into it after a while. So, you know, in other words, we're not just trying to, as was done in the past, just get people and get them to become brahmacharis or brahmacharinis and overlook their personal natures and situations. But certainly those who are suited and their personal situation is suitable for becoming brahmacharis and seriously trying to cultivate that approach to Krishna consciousness, they should do it. But don't just expect that everyone can and that it'll really help them. Any other comment or question? Ramananda Roy.
Could astrology be used for determining to which one a person belongs?
Astrology?
Yeah.
Well, maybe if, you know, in these days where the Bhagavatam spoken, it was generally quite clear. Yeah. Nowadays in Kali Yuga, you get a lot of mixtures, mixed varna natures. Yeah. So maybe. Prabhupada occasionally used astrology, but not much, and not very seriously. A problem is to find someone who actually knows what they're doing. That's a problem. Not you just go to someone down the road. Like you may find the nearest shop to buy some milk. You don't just find the nearest astrologer to just get your astrology done. Oh, it's a science. And there's a great shortage of qualified people. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj ki.